Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, Rays fans. How the hell are you? Steve Big Sweat Billmeyer here, ram riding another cattle drive we call Racing with Big Sweat. We appreciate y'all tuning in. If you're new to the show, we concentrate on local short track racing. We don't do much NASCAR. We're all about the guys that work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, work in the shop in the evening after supper, and show up and race for Saturday. These are the kind of guys we like to spotlight. These guys in the younger generation that's coming up, working their way up through the ranks now, we've talked to them too, and we've got a young gentleman we're going to talk to tonight who's had a pretty impressive career so far. While I got a minute, let me introduce you to the man that makes all this happen, my friend and producer, Mr. CJ Sports. How you doing tonight, CJ?
Oh, not too bad. Glad to be here tonight. Looking forward to this show after the day we've had today. I'm just glad that glad to finish this up.
I understand that. And let's see if my buddy's in with his mute button on. Chris, Yellow Caution Flag Creighton, you there, sport?
Now, how about you there, crew chief?
How you making it these days, buddy?
Well, I tell you, I had one of those moments where I realized that the landline had not been put on the receiver in about 2 days. So I'm having to call you from an insecure line. I'll be watching for the black helicopters and the Hillary protesters to be showing up any minute now.
Absolutely. You never know what's going to happen or who's going to show up on Racing with Big Sweat.
Don't worry. Don't tread on me. Flag is high and proud, and you can't miss the yellow in the flag. So if you see a don't tread on me flag, that's us.
There you go. That, and if you see the stars and bars, you'll know it's us, too. go ahead and get our first guest in the studio, and we'll find out what's going on with him. I'm real interested in talking with him. Young man, the two-time champion, and in a very brief career so far, so let's find out how things are going. Mr. Ryder LaPlante, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing good.
Good to hear, and glad to have you on the show. I was reviewing your statistics earlier this year for the 2016 season, and it's really impressive. Let everybody know what you accomplished this year.
Yeah.
Let's see, you got the junior sprint cars you ran in, you're the Tulsa shootout champion. You had two starts and two wins. So you basically just come in, dominate, take the check, and go home. Cool deal. And in the other class, you run the restricted class. You had 36 starts. And out of those 36, you had 27 top tens, 14 top fives, 7 seconds and 3 wins, and additionally won the NOW 600 Sooner Regional Points Championship.
Wow!
I'd say that's a pretty strong season. Congratulations!
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead, Steve.
I wanted to find out, you know. Ryder is, correct me if I'm wrong, but 9 years old and has already accomplished a great deal. I wanted to find out, you know, what got him started, what got him hooked on racing.
Well, my papa started racing late models. So when the 305 showed up, it made me want to race then.
Cool deal. Is it dirt or asphalt late models?
Dirt.
You have any desire to move up into a full fender dirt car?
Yeah. Nah, I'm gonna stay in open wheel.
That's it.
I heard that. Pretty sharp, huh, Chris?
Yeah, he is. 9 years old. What kind of modifications did they have to give you, Ryder, to be able to ride in a 600?
They're stock motors in the cars, and they're carbureted. They run on alcohol, and they just have to have restrictor plates. They're basically like a restrictor washer under the carburetor.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Are these cars designed for the capacity of somebody, say, under 100 pounds, or what kind of safety additions did you have to do to feel secure as a dad, more or less?
Well, I mean, we don't skimp any on safety equipment. The only difference really is having the proper seat. We'll run a full containment seat, and of course, his Hans and all the safety gear. And that's really about it. There's an adjustment in the car where you can raise the seat, move it up and down, and of course,
right,
where he can. But,
That's interesting that you said that full containment seat. And I don't mean to cut you off, but basically, these seats are designed to mold the driver. Was this one specially made for him?
Yes. It's a
awesome.
It's a built seat. And, I mean, once he kind of rolls in that thing, there's not much movement he has before he's even strapped in it. So,
right. And Steve, I think that kind of takes out the imagination that we all could have had on how they're actually getting the kids in the cars. Because with these self-containment seats, they go and, basically they mold the seat around the driver now. And with that kind of technology, you can do that with about any size person. I wouldn't be surprised if this is something that, we're just now catching on to and others have known for a while.
Well, yeah, to some people it's definitely well known, but I got to be honest, I hadn't really known of any drivers, riders' age, so it's kind of a new subject to me, too. Ryder, are you comfortable in the car? Are you comfortable racing close quarters with these other guys, some guys you might not know or haven't raced against before?
I'm pretty comfortable.
How is it? I'm trying to think of how to word this correctly. What age group do you typically compete against? Are you competing against drivers your age and also drivers twice your age or three times your age?
I'd say drivers probably three times my age, around 16-ish.
Wow.
Wow. I guess once you kind of race with these guys, this is not the first 9-year-old sprint car driver or midget driver that I've talked to. We actually had one on the Dirt Talk Hour last year, and people have probably seen it on Facebook. We interviewed the kid that his throttle stuck open, and the promoter reached out there and grabbed the sprint car from crashing into the wall. Basically, he just kind of sacrificed himself to whatever was going to happen and grabbed a hold of the wing. And so this is kind of an occurring factor. Are y'all on the West Coast?
No, we're in Oklahoma, actually. We've done some racing
Oklahoma.
On the West Coast here, though.
Okay, yeah. And that's where they were from, over on the West Coast side. So y'all are in the Midwest. I guess y'all have your eye on maybe the Chili Bowl or something, huh?
Yep. Yeah, Ryder actually won the Tulsa Shootout last year in the junior sprint class.
I remember the Facebook post on that. Wow, that's amazing. It's awesome to be able to talk to him.
I tell you, a young man's a shoe.
Tell us about the comfortability for you, Dad. I mean, having your child coming through the ranks like that, is there any, really chilling moments, or are you pretty well comfortable and feel good with the confidence of the other racers around him that that you know, it's a sport, and you don't really have those thoughts that anything could happen, right?
Well, I mean, that thought's always there. Most of the time, I'm pretty comfortable. He handles himself really well and is able to keep himself out of trouble. But, you know, there's always that select group that you can be around or, you know, have one of them chaotic nights and a little extra nervous when they go on the track than others.
Right. Now, Ryder, tell us about real quick about going from a race car to homework. Is that kind of a motivation factor there to go ahead and get your schoolwork done, or how do y'all handle that?
Pretty well, I'm guessing, but it's not that fun as you would think.
Yeah, I imagine.
I'm telling you. Do you work on your own car, Ryder? Do you actually help in some of the mechanicking?
Well, I always help my dad.
Yeah, what type of stuff do you do?
Family operation, I take it.
Yes, that's one of the requirements. He has to help with the car and be out there with me when we're doing maintenance and getting the car ready from week to week.
Ryder, do you think that works as an advantage to you, working on your car and knowing all about your car as opposed to somebody that just shows up and drives?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty big advantage.
I heard that.
Tell us about
the...
I know. I'm so excited. This is awesome. I think we can get a little bit more out of him if we kind of redirect the questions. Because I think one of the biggest things about having a young athlete on is we as older people and adults and journalists, we're trying to find the story. And in reality, it's hard to find a story with the 9-year-old. So basically, it's trying to find what he's comfortable talking about. And Ryder, what are some of the shop duties that you carry about during the week when you're not racing?
Homework.
When you're fiddling with the car, what do you like to mess with?
Oh, like what's the funnest part about it?
Yeah. When you're in the shop with Dad, what do you like to do?
Ride my scooter sometimes. Probably the funnest thing in the shop ever.
How long has he been racing, Dad?
He started when he was 5.
Hey.
He started in the junior sprint. Ran that up until last year, and then just a couple races this year in it, and then he moved up to the restricted class and the full-size micro sprint.
So you started him right off through the sprint cars. Any playing in the go-karts, maybe on asphalt?
No. Well, we looked into it one time and actually went and tested a couple, and he just wasn't into it. And,
he likes the sprint cars, his open wheels. We know from right now he is a big open wheel fan. Did he inherit some of that from you?
I did some go kart stuff when I was younger, but no, I never got to do anything like he does for sure. I'd love to.
He found his nick. That's all right. Steve, go ahead. I'm gonna back off here for a minute.
He just kind of found it on his own. The first time he ever seen when he was talking about the 305, he was actually talking about the 305 sprint cars. And the first time he seen one, that's he wanted to know all about. That's all he wanted to do.
So he's already a winner in the 305 series.
No, we used to go to the races when he was 3-4 years old and watch full body cars. And my wife's dad raced. But the first time Ryder ever seen the sprint cars come, you know, there was a traveling series, and they showed up at the track. He was just, he didn't care anything about full body cars. He wanted to know about the sprint cars.
it seems to be a crowd favorite with the younger generation. I have four boys myself, and when the USCS sprint cars and the ASCS sprint cars come to town, it always seemed to be that they had a little bit more fire in their eyes. Is it more of an adrenaline rush? Is that why you prefer open wheel rider? Tell us why you like open wheels.
Really tries to always sometimes lose, and you can't really hit them with the open wheel. Like full body car, bounce off the wall.
That's cool.
Steve,
I don't know if it's my connection or yours. I am on a cell phone, so if I'm coming in and out, just let me know.
Yeah, you're coming in and out. I'm trying to follow what's going on. Ryder seems to be a real interested driver. What's the next step up, Kevin? After you've accomplished everything you want to accomplish in the class of C's now, where do you go from here?
Probably, there's several stock classes to run in the micros after you take the restrictors out. And his goal really in the next 4 years when he's old enough is to race like the USAC midgets. For out here, it's actually the Power I.
Cool.
And run the midget sprint.
That's good that, y'all, both you and Ryder, have a plan, a step-by-step ladder, so to speak, of how you want to get there. How far do you want to go? What's the top of the mountain you're trying to climb?
Just really trying to win the championship in World of Outlaws and win, like, a couple of, tough races at Eldora.
I heard that. That's pretty interesting. if you're gonna run open wheels, I guess World of Outlaws is the what you shoot for, and to throw in running a couple of truck races on dirt, that's pretty interesting. It just makes me think of Kyle Larson. I could just picture you throwing that truck around through the corners as hard as you can.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Steve, because, Jeff Gordon, and Kyle Larson. Here's Tony Stewart coming up on retirement. I mean, sometimes, you may not believe it's as serious as it is, but these racers that we just named, they were all racing in his class at his age. I mean, the opportunity is there, and that's what the older generation's fighting right now is the seat time that these kids can get by the time they're 18, I tell you. They have grown man experience of being behind the wheel and, still a lot to learn behind the ears. So it's amazing to see that, the progression that these younger kids are able to make. Is that kind of what keeps the fire lit, Dad? Is that kind of what pushes this along? As long as he's loving it.
Oh yeah, as long as he loves it, I love it. I mean, we're lucky enough that Mom loves it, so we all travel together. This year we're lucky enough that we traveled to like 12 different tracks in 4 states. We went raced Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, and all the way up to California for a speed week deal they had the 4th of July.
Wow.
And so we spend a lot of time in the motorhome traveling.
Now, Dad, how do we do all this traveling? Is your job? Do you work from home? Do you have a shop? Are you supplying your own finances for the race team?
Most of it, we do have a couple of good sponsors. One really good one that helps us out a lot of stuff, which is Dacus Heat and Air. And I own a Snap-on tool business, so it's hard to get away. A lot of times it's trying to get away on Friday and Saturday. And
I know I definitely have a lot of listeners that just turned the volume up a lot louder when you said you were a Snap-on tool dealer.
Yeah.
So do you got a truck?
I know a lot of guys that like to shop out of that truck.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I have. But, you know, there's stuff on there, that, you know, specialty tools that you got to have to race. That's pretty much the only place you can get them.
Well, just being, having the luxury of being self-employed helps a lot with the racing schedule, being able to get away when you need to and want to, and having customers that understand a lot of times.
Well, that definitely helps, too. You mentioned it's pretty much a family deal. Any brothers or sisters of Ryan that are in, Ryder that are interested to get into racing?
He has a younger one that's she'll be turning 5 soon, and we're still trying to figure out if she's going to take over his little junior sprint that he raced before or not. And had an older sister. She raced for a couple of years, and last year was her last season in it. So it's basically just him now.
So this really is a family deal for you. And you said that, you know, being that you kind of can make your own schedule and stuff. Tell us about that family moment. We all have them a lot of times, you know, for dad, it's going and watching the child hit the home run. Tell us how you enjoy those moments at the racetrack.
There's nothing greater than that. I mean, that's all you kind of think about and strive for throughout the week is trying to make the car better and hope to have a better week each and every week we go to the track, no matter where we go.
The financial situation, as you go up, racing gets more expensive. Is that already something that you're planning on, or do you feel like your sponsors are going to be able to carry up?
I don't know. I mean, we appreciate any help we can get, and I know as he gets older, it's going to get a lot more expensive, and, you know, I'll carry him as far as I can carry him. Hopefully, we can pick up some more help throughout his career and help out with traveling and expenses as they get greater.
Is this kind of a book that you're following, or are you just playing it by ear? Because obviously when you see that your child is thrilled and really enjoying something, that's when the parent really gets kicked in. They really start, you know, planning a kind of a success story for the children. As a father, I've known this, and my daughter was in photography, and, you know, I really felt like she was going to be really good. And then, you know, she got married, and it's not something she does anymore. But as she was coming through, we were definitely mapping out how she was going to get there. Is this something that you kind of do yourself, or is it just a week by week deal?
There's some planning in it. I mean, you know, it started out a deal just seeing if he liked it, and of course he fell in love with it, and kind of we all did. It's all we think about. So the success that he's had, you know, something you kind of hope for and dream of, but even when it becomes a reality, it's hard to believe. Last year, like in the junior sprint class, he won 21 races out of 32, and I mean, it was just every weekend he won, it was like, you know, you just never expect to win that many races. You think almost like it's too good to be true. And then to when he topped it off at the winning the Golden Driller as young as he did, it's just, you know, there's still a lot of I guess amazement there.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell us real quick about the PR department. How do you promote Ryder, and is it something that are you recording all of his races? I mean, something that Steve and I are very accustomed to already in the couple of years we've been doing this is these days marketing is a big deal in racing, and just marketing the name is what a lot of people are after. They add their sponsors, but it's kind of in-house deal. How are you promoting him from within? Because obviously there's half a million fans on Facebook and Twitter that would click on to anything that, that you have with Ryder. Is that something that you're putting out? And if so, how can we help you get him out further?
Yeah, my wife, she does all the recording as far as his finishes and starts. She keeps track of that throughout the year and week to week. And we started, you know, the LaPlante Racing Facebook page. So that's one way to try to keep up with him. And, you know, occasionally we'll post it on ours, but we don't have any major marketing on it.
You know, and I'll give you some confidence here. It doesn't take a major marketing firm these days. It just takes the knowing of social media and the right connections to kind of help get them out, get the word out there. And this is a very, very good tool for something. The people are always interested in a young prodigy, and being Ryder 9 years old, I mean, that is just amazing. 21 wins out of 32 times. He could be going for a record there.
Well, we've been told that it was probably, as far as the percentages, wins to starts, one of the best that, you know, most people have ever seen. I know it was he set a record at our home track that we were racing at last year, which is I-44 Speedway, and he won the track championship on top of it, but, you know, it was just unheard of, and he hit that seventh and eighth win, and it was like, wow, this is an amazing year, and then it just kept going and going and going, and like I say, it just kind of got to that point where it was almost unbelievable.
Right. And that definitely gets the emotions tied in a lot more. We you know, this is something that is not really comparable, but on the same level. With our daughter Erin in photography, it's one thing when you have somebody go out and taking pictures, but when you really see the art behind it, and you really start taking notice to the dedication and appreciation that they have for it, it definitely gives an extra spurt to the parent to give them the tools necessary to be successful.
I agree. This is when he moved up classes, you know, the car he's running now is almost twice the size of the other one, you know, three times the horsepower. This is our first season, so we're both kind of learning it and trying to perfect it as much as we could. I think, you know, next year and the year after, we definitely we hope and pray to have the season like we did last year in the junior sprint. But we did a lot of traveling. We tried not to race the same place too many times in a row. I feel that the more he travels and has to adapt to certain tracks, the better off he'll be in the long run than just trying to be fast or competitive at any one place week after week against the same competition.
Now, yeah, tell us about the communication. Oh, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
I was just going to say to Kevin, that's the way I always felt. I did when I owned a late model, I didn't want to really run for a track championship and kind of be tied to one track most weekends. I wanted to be able to pick and choose and go to different places and have a driver that could show up at a new track, set up practice, qualified, race competitively, and do it again somewhere else the next week. To me, that always seemed like a good training tool and a good way to get a driver to be adaptable. That's pretty impressive you think that way too, Kevin. I think that's a good way to go.
Well, we did the track championship deal last year and tried for it the year before. And, I mean, as fun as it is, it almost takes the fun out of it when you have to be at a certain place week after week. And if you have a bad night, how down you. You know, we probably could have won a few more races if we raced the same track. But the main thing is the competition. Getting to race other competitors, other drivers, different tracks. You know, we show up a lot of places and don't know who the fast cars are, who to watch out for, who not to watch out for. You're kind of blindfolded, which is in a way a little bit of disadvantage, but in a way I think it helps him as a driver in general.
Yeah, it definitely will make him more adaptable. Like you said, there's so many unknowns running with cars and drivers you aren't familiar with, and even down to the basics, like having to learn where the groove is and everything. It seems to me it's a lot more goes into it when you're running different tracks. And I don't want to make it sound wrong, but you kind of get not in a rut, but there's a lot less unpredictability if you run a track a bunch during the season. But, you know, it's really a six of one, a half dozen of the other. It's really whatever you prefer, whichever works best for you, go for it. But I'm just a fan of going to as many different places as I can and running against as many different drivers as I can.
Yes, definitely. Probably the biggest learning we had this season was when we went to California they had a deal called California Speed Week. We raced at four different tracks through five nights, and
wow,
it was a learning. You know, we were handicapped, didn't know a lot of the drivers, not all of them, but biggest percent of them were locals and had raced those tracks. So trying to come in blindfolded, not knowing what kind of gear to have on the car, not knowing the line to run. We struggled, but I think in the long run it made him a stronger driver. It made both of us better.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it probably made for a whole stronger team, really.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty big undertaking. That's impressive you took that on. And are y'all going to try that in the 2017 season?
We plan on it. I think we have a little bit better odds going back since we have some good notes. I always try to take notes everywhere we go. It's almost a half day when you run.
Sounds like he has a little bit of dealings in crew chiefing, don't you think there, Steve?
Yeah. I was kind of thinking the same thing. I'm like, you know, he's faced a lot of these problems before, and experience is the best teacher, so...
That's
right. Sounds like y'all got it going on, Kevin.
Yeah. Tell us about the setup in the shop weekly. Is there very many changes to the car, or has Ryder just accustomed himself to how the car drives and I guess attempts to drive to the style the car is actually? And that's something we've heard here recently as well.
Yeah, that's something that I've tried to teach him. You know, for the last couple of years when he started getting old enough to understand when the car was tight, how he needed to drive it, or if the car was loose coming off the corners, is him trying to learn how to adapt to the car. I'm far from perfect at setting it up every time, I promise you that. So I try to get it as close. That way he knows what to do when he goes out if the car isn't working like he wants it to.
Steve?
It sounds like he can adapt pretty quickly to be able to run the way he does on the variety of tracks that he runs. While we got a little bit of time left, Kevin, you and Ryder give a shout out to anybody you want to recognize, sponsors, crew, family, whoever.
I'd like to thank Vegas Heaton there. Snap-on Tools, Truck Driving Academy, my family, my friends. I think that's probably it. My dad, my mom.
Cool deal. And
do you get
everybody...
to ride shotgun? Hold on, Steve. Do you get to ride shotgun in the motorhome, or is that mom or sisters? Right up in the front seat.
Probably my mom riding up in the front seat and me taking a nap.
Do you have a PlayStation in the motorhome?
A TV?
Yeah, a TV and a game station.
Oh, no.
No? Okay, cool. That's awesome.
Wheel
I don't know how you did it, Dad. You're Dad of the Year.
He does take his Xbox with him, but there's usually not much time to play it unless we're traveling somewhere far. It got well used on the trip to California and back. But generally, time to play it.
That's right.
Well, let everybody know how they can follow Ryder on social media and keep up with what LaPlante Racing is doing and what your plans are.
You can follow us on LaPlante Racing on the Facebook page. And my wife usually tries to post where we're racing at for that weekend and usually how the outcome was for the week, keep everybody updated.
Well, Kevin, I do appreciate you and Ryder coming on and talking with us tonight. I'm glad I got an opportunity to meet both of you. And we'll definitely be following up on how you do next season, and we'll get you back on early next season and see how things are going and check in with you. Ryder, thanks again for coming on with us tonight, bud.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Thank you. We'll look forward to it.
Oh, yes, sir.
Definitely.
Are y'all planning to be at the Chili Bowl? Did I hear that right?
For the shootout, Tulsa shootout, same place.
Okay.
We actually move in, I think, the 26th and race all the way through New Year's Day this year. They've had an unbelievable entry every year, and it's gotten so big they've had to add a day to it, so... He'll be running both classes, junior sprint and the restrictor this year. So,
awesome. Well, we'd like to be able to keep up with y'all during that. So make sure you're posting that stuff to Facebook, and we'll follow it along and try to get some of that shared as well. It's an awesome story. And like I said earlier in the interview, it is kind of hard to interview a 9-year-old. But getting him out there, I commend you, Dad, because you're giving him the opportunity to learn. And the quicker that he gets on to that skill, the more successful your operation, I believe, will be as you start moving up the ranks. And getting him appointed with the media and on shows like this is really going to help build his fan base. And I commend you for bringing him on and sharing him with us. I mean, seriously, it's awesome to see a 9-year-old chasing the same dream that Steve and I both have.
Yeah,
well,
really.
We do appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, like I said, thank you for coming on. And, Ryder, I'll definitely be back in touch about the first of the year and see how things have gone for you in the shootout and Chili Bowl. Good luck to you, son.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Ryan LaPlante and his father/crew chief, Kevin. And very interesting segment, I must say. I mean, it's really sounds like Ryder's got his, has already thought about this and kind of got mapped out where he wants to go and how far he wants to go. So I enjoyed talking with him tonight. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
Man, it's just amazing, Steve. It really is. And I guess the more that we get to talk to younger kids like that, the better our questions will be. It really is remarkable to see the growth in racing. I mean, you know, at 9 years old, like I said before, I was playing in a sandbox and knew who Dale Earnhardt was, knew who Richard Petty was. And my parents took me to the dirt track. But at 9 years old, I was throwing a football behind the bleachers. I wasn't playing.
Yeah.
I wasn't sitting there dreaming about, you know, being a race car driver. So to have these aspirations from, I mean, he said that he's going to win the World of Outlaw Championship. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. That's what I say. I mean, he knows what he wants.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got an 8-year old, and he may know of the World of Outlaws, because he heard of it, but he couldn't tell you that it was a sanctioned sprint car race. You know what I mean? I mean, it's amazing. It's just, it is. It's a great opportunity for us to be able to interview somebody of such young talent. And it's definitely, like I told him, Steve, it's a great opportunity for him as well to learn how to deal with the media, especially if he has those kind of dreams and aspirations. Look, you know, Steve Kinser and all these, you know, the Swindells, they've all had to learn how to put it out on the track, but also how to hold themselves in front of the camera. Clawson and all of them, they were all, you know, Brian Clawson was probably the best interview that I've ever seen from anybody, just so well-mannered and always positive. And so, you know, he's not just watching his other people racing, he's watching the other competitors. And I guarantee you, Steve, he's got his eyes on the right one. And I guarantee you, they don't race in his division.
No, I tell you, I saw a little thing on Facebook that caught my eye about him, and I started reading up on him and finding some other things about him and found out, you know, just how good a racer he is, and it definitely got my interest, and now I want to follow him and see how he does, you know, and check back in with him and talk to him some more as next season goes on and everything. I think it'll be really cool, you know. I think it'll be great.
Yes. Well, Steve, and I don't want to lose the momentum that we have right now, but I, you know, but just before I come on the show here, we base our show on short track racing. And some of that's dirt, some of that's asphalt. Congratulations to 110 Nation Sports. They're going to send Hannah Newsom down. We're going to send Hannah Newsom down to the Snowball Derby to be a media journalist down for the radio station. Mr. CJ Sports sent out an email to everybody, and so congratulations to that. But you know, it went from great news to really sad news, Steve. And like I said, I want to lose the momentum of the show here tonight, but it was very sad when I read that Tommy Baldwin Racing is going to close its doors. If you want to talk about a racer who started at the bottom and worked his way into a dream, I mean, we're talking about the crew chief of the 2000 Daytona 500, 2002, I believe it was, at Ward Burton. You know, Tommy worked his way through the ranks. Everybody knew him as an asphalt modified driver, one of those Northeast ringers. Mike Perricone could probably give you a lot better analysis of his actual career. But it's just really sad to see somebody get to their pinnacle and now having to announce that they're having to close the doors. I'm really concerned about the healthiness of the top grade of the sport, because let me tell you something, Steve. They always say if the king is starving, the people are dead, okay? So yeah. What I mean by that, I don't mean to be that graphical, but it's serious. If the top of the sport is not surviving, it's not striving, then you can only imagine the state of the sport that we're really in these other lower divisions. And I want to hear your take on the announcement of Tommy Baldwin Racing.
I hated to see it, and I especially hate to see a small team like that go under. It doesn't excite any new possible owners that might be looking to come into the sport.
Right.
Build
they were building cars, Steve. These people, they were building their own chassis and stuff. I mean, it wasn't just a rinky-dink, you know, rent a car weekend at Tommy Baldwin Racing. They were really striving to be competitive in Cup. And I guess one of the reasons Tommy Baldwin Racing gave me one of my first starts, they let me release press releases from them, and I wrote a lot of stories with Rant Sports about Tommy Baldwin Racing and got to know their PR lady, Miss Heather. And just knowing, you know, that team was striving, I really felt at the time with the right driver, we were looking at a Richard Childress all over again. But unfortunately today, my vision of what TBR could be has now been shattered.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what can you say? It's probably more financial than anything else. It's just, I don't know. They got to do something to make it look more. What is the word I want? To make stock car racing look like it can be self-surviving. You know, that you can race more as long as you want to than, you know, how far you can go till you run out of money.
Right.
That just, you know.
Steve, do you think that this could be a repercussion of the medallions that were handed out? I mean, Tommy Baldwin has medallions. I believe he has two of them, which means that he doesn't necessarily have to back out of racing. He can lease his medallion out. Is this kind of a way to cut your losses? Or is this really, you know, it could give an opportunity to another team. But in reality, it seems like, you know, closing a race team is, it means you're out of the business. You can no longer maintain. It used to be you'd have a car owner sell out and in a couple of years get back in. And I kind of felt that way with James Finch when he left the sport. But, you know, a few years later, there's still no James Finch, and Harry Scott Racing is ready to close its door. So we got maybe four medallions out there. And I'm wondering if owners feel like they get a better cut by leasing the medallions, because their money's for sure. The race team's money's not for sure.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. It's you kind of wonder what the best way to go is when you get into a situation where you're faced with having to get out or close the doors. You know, do you get out and cut your losses, or do you just take a break and regroup and come back stronger?
I think those days in racing are over with, which is, you know, leads to even far more concerns about the healthiness of the sport. My biggest concern is, you know, if we're not seeing healthy results in the upper series, is this because people have found a new grasp on the other style of racing, or is this just an economic downturn that's going to filter all the way through? We need to see young people like Ryder get the opportunity. This kid is putting his effort into it at an age where most kids ain't worried about nothing but a sandbox and a popsicle, okay? And to see the sport losing credibility at the top, you don't want to see kids, you know, have a kid go out there on a football field and lose the state championship. It's the best thing ever for the child because it teaches something later on. But not having the opportunity is unimaginable.
Well, that might be the one positive out of this deal is where NASCAR has kind of almost priced themselves out of existence, really, as far as the future and everything for drivers, where you get outside of the Southeast and you get out into sprint car country, dirt late models country, modified country. These types of series seem to be thriving a lot better, and I think it's because the price of the entertainment is so much cheaper and you still get good racing either way.
Think about what he just said with they added a day to the Tulsa shootout because it was that many cars turning out. So some people are doing it right. It goes back to what we talked about with Eldora. I need to get back to what's selling tickets, I guess.
Yeah, it's not so much, to me, it's not so much racing is hurting or racing is dying. It's NASCAR is. It's more of a isolated case than it is.
Furthering us from the truth of what wins on Sunday sells on Monday. Interesting. Very interesting, Steve, but I think you're right on it. I'm no professional, just an analysis. And I believe you're onto something there. And that's kind of where you based it. You know, we were fooled with polls just this month. We're also fooled with viewership and other things because they can't tally exactly who's listening and watching what based off of there's so many different resources now. But what obviously is true, Facebook is its modern-day racing book. People go to Facebook, it seems to be on all generation of drivers and whatever class they're racing in, they know that Facebook is their marketing tool. That's
yeah.
amazing in itself.
Yeah. You can just reach so many more people and put your results and what you want to put out there to so many more people over social media that it's really kind of changing the dynamic of the sport altogether, really.
I actually just got a message here from Mike Perricone. He said that he knows Tommy Baldwin personally. I kind of figured that there was some because of where Mike studies at and what his shows are about, I kind of knew that there might have been some relationship there between those two. So thanks for listening, Mike, and thanks for giving us some of that feedback there on Tommy. Like I said, I didn't want to take the air out of the show, but at the same time, it's just devastating to see a short tracker, you know, a man who has been dedicated to racing for 50 years. It didn't matter what type of racing. He started in the lower ranks just like everybody else, and he's kind of built his empire piece by piece, and it's just so sad and unfortunate to see a race team that I thought last year, the year before last, was really moving in the right direction, especially with the addition of Bowman and then Reagan Smith. It just really sucks the air out of anything good going on at the top of the sport right now. But like you said, Steve, maybe we need to start reiterating what is the top of the sport and what category of the sport are we in? Are we seeing a differential between dirt track fans and NASCAR fans? I would say by far, yes, that the dirt track community is heeding to the wants in the entertainment side better than circle track racing, better than the top dogs of the sport. And this could really be a territorial grab on what is what.
Yeah, you're definitely right. It's hard to ignore the popularity of local short track racing and dirt track racing just for the fact of you still get the excitement of racing and everything, but at a lower cost, on a smaller, more intimate scale, and I think it serves the public better, really. I think they get a lot more out of it than they would saving up and planning for one big Charlotte weekend or something like that.
Well, you know, Steve, 100 years ago, I don't think anybody in the world would have unseated the popularity of the Indy 500 or open wheel racing at the time. This was before stock car racing. Open wheel racing has been around a lot longer. And, you know, the shift happened and stock car racing become the more fan favorite. It just shows that in the future, what we're calling the top of the league may not necessarily be characterized as the top of the league racing. It could be something else in the next few years.
Yeah, I think it really depends on what part of the country you ask that question in.
Right. Right. This is opening up a whole nother box of goodies and probably a whole nother show to talk about.
Just on the aspect that,
you know, throughout time, things do change. And what we're grading our scale on being a successful racing series or entertainment, you know, 50 years from now, it could possibly be, you know, sprint cars could be the fame and fortune of the next style racing.
I think that's entirely probable. But like you said, we could do a whole show just on that. So let's wrap this up. Let everybody know, Chris, what you got going on and how they can keep up with you.
Well, Steve, I'm in retirement, and I'll be back next year.
Okay.
But I'm retired for the rest of the year. I know a lot of people probably are happy that I'm retired there for the rest of the year because their Facebook feed won't be blowed up. But, you know, we love what we do, and you can find us at Flag of Caution on Twitter and Chris at Yellow Caution Flag Creighton on Facebook. We also have a bunch of pages that you can add. But if you just want to make it simple, Google Yellow Caution Flag, and you'll find us all over the Internet with all kinds of different places. And you can find us here on Thursday nights on Racing with Big Sweat.
always a pleasure being on the show with you, Steve.
Once again, glad you're here, buddy. Always enjoy talking with you. Appreciate you kind of saving the show tonight. Take it easy, and we'll probably skip next week's show since it's Thanksgiving. So I definitely want to get back for the Snowball Derby, both leading up to that and the aftermath, and talk to some of those people. So that's our next big plan. Mr. CJ Sports, tell everybody what you got going on with all your various sports subjects you cover.
First of all, I want to thank Five Flag Speedway. They host the Snowball Derby for approving Hannah Newhouse to represent the 110 Nation down at the Snowball Derby. Very, very excited about getting that information today. Make sure you guys check out the 110 Nation Sports Show every Monday through Wednesday, 7 o'clock, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Tomorrow night, we got Bob Finnan, announcer extraordinaire and PR man, and Turkey Derby driver Kenny Darch joining Hot Laps with Stats. It kicks off at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Also, make sure you guys check us out on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check us out, or check our site out, www.the110nationsports.com. I got to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, Snafu Seasoning, I-95 Sports Network, and Maha Radio. Without all these great marketing partners and networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing.
Yep. We thank them very much, and they are definitely appreciated for the help they give us. I'm pretty easy to keep up with. Check me out on Twitter at BigSweat4. I'm the NASCAR heartbreaker and homewrecker. And on Facebook, if you're not already a member, come join my group, NASCAR and Other Racing, where you can keep up with a lot of the drivers that we talk to here on Racing with Big Sweat. We get a lot of posts from them. We have a lot of race fans involved in our group, so come hang out with us and enjoy the show. And speaking of shows, you can catch up with myself and Mr. CJ Sports one more time at least on Rubbin' Is Racing on Monday nights at 6 o'clock, where we talk about the things that happened the previous weekend in NASCAR, so we'll definitely be up talking about the final at Homestead and what happened and everything. So tune that in and check us out. It's Racing with Big Sweat on Monday nights at 6 o'clock. And no, it's not Racing with Big Sweat. It's Rubbin' Is Racing Monday nights at 6 o'clock. But either way, check us out. And we appreciate you tuning in. Hope everybody has a good Turkey Day a week from today, and we'll be back at you with previews of the Snowball Derby next time we talk to you. Thanks again. Good night. We'll see you.
Bye.